I am sitting at a very cluttered desk recording a podcast to you. How are you, everyone? This is Michelle Fawcett, the Dreaming Dilettante, coming out to you with another creative podcast. And it's something that I am hoping to be doing a little more regularly for you. But I really don't like to say that because if you've been around for a while or if you know me at all, the minute I try to be consistent is the minute I stop. I am consistently inconsistent is probably the best way to to word it, and I'm okay with that, or I'm becoming okay with that. My entire life I've been surrounded by very consistent people, and consistent people don't tend to always see the beauty in spontaneity or living in the moment. And that's really, I like to think of myself as less inconsistent and more that I'm just living in the current moment. And humans, we like to think that consistency is a thing, and that if we do the same thing, we can expect the same results or guaranteed results or, you know, some kind of planning where we can guarantee that whatever we expect to happen will happen. And if you pay attention, I think, you know that that's not true. And at least in my experience, it's never been true. Because if nothing else, you don't every day get up and put a hat and coat on and walk out the door, because some days it's sunny, some days it's cold, some days it's rainy. So there's fluctuation. And I think when you live in the present moment, you're able to always be creating. And for me, that's an interesting thing because I was feeling today, or I've been feeling it for a very long time, but specifically today, I was noticing how much I was feeling the rush, or feeling like I was being rushed, that I had to finally kind of get in the game and get my creative business up and running. I had to figure out the details, figure out what I'm doing, and just start hammering at it consistently every day. And it's a dream of mine. And I think that when things are important to us, we give attention to them. I know a lot of people would say work hard. I don't really like that expression because it doesn't sound like something I'd want to do. And the only reason I have any dream whatsoever is because I think that, you know, realizing that dream will make me enjoy what I'm doing. So if I have to work hard to get to the dream, probably just means I'm going to have to continue doing those work hard things that I'm not enjoying once I get the dream. And, well, I have things I don't want to do now that I have to do, so I don't need to be dreaming up more of them. But I think it means that we have to give conscious attention and choose accordingly. And that might sound like, you know, semantics, but for me, I realize that it's not working hard, say, to eat healthy, to be taking care of yourself. It doesn't have to be something that you do in a hard manner or something in a way that you do that's constantly working and pushing and depriving and forcing yourself. I think some people enjoy that kind of challenge. But if you don't, I don't think it has to feel like that. You just shift it. And I think it's something that I've been realizing the last few weeks especially. And the idea that today when I was thinking about how I had to, you know, get on this already, figure out what I'm going to be doing, start doing things consistently, you know, uploading consistently, doing these kinds of things. And I started to think about this pressure I was feeling, like, you know, time's running out, like I have to do it. And yet I don't want the dream for a practical reason, you know? I'm not looking to start my creative business. There might be some practical to it, but it's not like I'm doing it because I have to replace a job income or anything like that. And if that were something that I wanted to do, perhaps you'd have to, you know, look at things differently. But wanting to have a creative business is where I'm sharing my work and my art has more to do with wanting to realize that my creativity how can I put this? 'Cause I'm realizing things as I'm talking about it. My creativity can support me, but it already is, right? And I guess some of it is wanting to receive some sort of recognition for my creativity. But on a true level, when I am sitting down making something, I'm being rewarded right then. You know, I'm really, right now, not having a business associated with my creativity and just being able to make art and do things. I'm in this really cool position of where just being able to make the art, I'm sitting here looking at all these beautiful things on my desk, the supplies on my very cluttered desk, and knowing that I can sit down and make whatever I want, however I want, in whatever way I want, and choose to share or not share. But being able to sit down and scribble with pen or scribble with markers or sign up to take a class on photography and then flip and take a class on drawing animals, and both of which I'm doing, and then take French lessons and do all these things. I think maybe I had to realize that my art is already supporting me. My creativity is already supporting me. Perhaps not financial, and maybe that's the thing, right? We have to earn money. We have to earn money. I'm not going to pretend that we don't. I'd love to get to a point where we didn't, but my money and my creativity do not have to come from the same place, right? Like I don't. If I wanted to earn more money, I could do that in other ways. And I do love the idea of, as I said, having a business where I'm sharing my creativity with people and, you know, able to send them products and they're able to enjoy the products and they're able to, you know, so I do like that kind of energetic exchange. But perhaps I'm not ready for that kind of exchange because that exchange comes with expectations on the other person's side, right? So you send a product to somebody. I mean, we've all bought something in our lives. So you buy something, it gets sent to you, and you have expectations. And if those expectations aren't met, you're going to reach out and want to have that resolved because it wasn't what you thought you were exchanging your energy, or in this case, money, for to receive, right? So maybe there's a gift in that. It's interesting. This isn't where I thought I was going to go. I was thinking about the rush for creativity that I was feeling like I got to get it done now. I have to figure it out now. I have to get that skill down now. And I think part of that came from this feeling of missing out or missing my window. I had an experience where something that I had shared that I had come up with that I wanted to do was being done by somebody I shared it with. So they kind of took my idea and they're doing it for themselves. And it bothered me. It bothered me not because I don't believe there's anything new under the sun, not because I thought I had owned this rare and unique idea. It bothered me because I thought that I was sharing in a space that was where creative ideas were respected to the point where somebody wouldn't do something like that without at least acknowledging that they are inspired by somebody else. Because we all are. I mean, everything I'm doing, you know, I'm taking, as I said, I take classes and I learn things from other people, and I do my best to try to acknowledge the people that have shown me things, and have taught me things. And of course, I'm not perfect at it. I'm sure we all make mistakes. But forgetting about like anything, you know, official, what it made me feel like was it was my fault, because if I had acted quicker, you know, if I had pushed myself to do it more, even though it wasn't really ready for me to share my version of this in the world yet, and it may never be, right? But if I had worked harder and pushed more, well, that would have been me realizing the idea that I had, not this other person. And of course, I'm reminded, if you've read Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, she talks about how she was working on this story, and it was a very unique concept story about a specific location and specific things that were happening, and how she had notes on it, and she had them in her drawer, but she really hadn't been giving it much attention. And she was talking to a friend who's a fellow writer, and that friend was telling her about the book that she was currently working on, and it turned out to be the same story that Elizabeth Gilbert had in her drawer. A little different, because it's not like Elizabeth had shared it, at least that she said in the book, had shared this idea with another person, and that other person went, ooh, that's a unique idea, or pretended that they were just interested for her sake, which is kind of what I feel like happened to me. I don't believe in blame. I'm not somebody like that. I'm more just kind of sharing my experience of things, because, you know, we're all flawed human beings, and we've all hurt other people either intentionally or inadvertently, or caused discomfort to people inadvertently or intentionally. So that's really not what I want this to be about. But in that example, Melissa was like, oh, or Elizabeth, I'm sorry, was like, well, I guess this isn't going to happen. I'm not, you know, the story's not meant, I haven't been given it its attention, so this other person can run with it. So I think that that's what happens. I think that, you know, creativity, and it comes through unique, right? Even if you're inspired by somebody else's creation and or idea on something, you're still going to give it your own twist. You're still going to give it your own experience. And for me, I felt this pressure because I hadn't, you know, somehow I'd failed my creativity, right? I had failed my art. I had failed. And for me, someone who has always been around, I'm going to have a sip of my tea. I hope you have a cup of something nice with you listening to this. I do love sitting with a cup of tea and listening to podcasts. And on point, I feel that I should share, because the first podcast I ever really got into listening to was Michael Knobbs, and he is linked in my reference section, but I'll try to remember to put it in the description as well, just because I do think it's important to share the people we're inspired by. And sometimes I think I'm better at sharing other people's work than my own, and supporting other people's work. But maybe that's why. Maybe that's really what I'm here to do. You know, maybe my art's meant to be for me. And I'm just supposed to share and, you know, kind of make other people feel really good about their creations. That, you know, and that has its value too. I think what really got me though was having grown up in an environment where, you know, I was surrounded by consistency. I was surrounded by people who did and did, you know, who pushed and were driven and that kind of thing. Anytime an idea I have doesn't come to fruition, whatever that means, right? Whatever that looks like, I feel as if it's due to my own shortcoming, my own inability to be disciplined, to be consistent. You know, if you worked every day at the same time for the same amount of time doing the same thing, or consistently working on that project until that project's completed, and then when that project's completed, you can get something else. I'm hearing like that, you know, that mom voice. Okay, well, when you're done playing with that toy, then you put it away, and then you can get another toy. And from watching my children at such a young age, I realized I couldn't enforce that with them, because I realized that they didn't want to sit and play with Legos, and only use the, you know, the Lego official pieces and put those together and only play with them. And the Lego people went in the Lego houses and only the Lego people, you know, they wanted to have Barbie, you know, playing with Lego And then they wanted to draw pictures that were going to be the background to Lego. And, you know, they wanted all their toys to kind of cross over. They were creating something new with the sets. I mean, rarely ever did I have, and you know, I have three children, aged 3 to 11, and rarely ever do I see them sitting down with a play set of sorts, and only utilizing the things in that play set. Unless it is a Lego set, they'll put together the Lego set, but then from there, who knows? That Lego set could be going anywhere. And that's so great. And I think for me, I can see that with my kids and see what a great gift that is. But with myself, I tend to feel like I'm still supposed to be that. I'm still part of me striving to be something I'm not, because I have zero problem trying something and realizing, yeah, you know, I tried the French lessons, but I think I'd rather learn Spanish, or I want to play guitar, or I tried guitar, let me go back to flute. Flute's not that, I'm going to go over here for a while. Because if I don't enjoy doing it, if it's no longer lighting me up, why am I doing it? You know, I mean, there's definitely things in life where you do that with. And I've seen with me these last few weeks, the shift between looking at something and saying, okay, I'm gonna stop doing this thing because it's hard, and I can't be bothered, right? There's that. And then there's the difference between going, you know, I'm looking at the effort it's gonna take for me to do this thing that I said I wanted to do. And I'm looking at that effort and I'm going, it's not worth it. It's not worth it for me. I think about, my husband and I were talking about this the other day, like with money. I don't have a problem spending money. Really does not hold for me much, value, except obviously, like I said, I still want a creative business. So it's still there. But I'm not somebody who really has to stop and think before I spend a penny. That's just not who I am. I've never been like that. And, my husband and I were talking the other day about how he likes to play poker, and he likes to go to a casino, and he finds that stuff a lot of fun. He likes to play games and gamble. That's an interesting thing for him. And for me, I used to go with him and I would just sit and watch him play, and I enjoyed that just as much. I didn't like spending the money on it because I didn't enjoy it. I'd have zero problem taking a $20 bill, going and getting myself an overpriced, you know, cappuccino, whatever, and a snack, or buying markers or pens or another notebook, because you guys listening, I'm sure you need another notebook, right? We all of us artists need another notebook. And I'd have zero problem spending $20 on that, but putting $20 in the slot machine, I just doesn't have the value for me. I don't want to spend it on that. And it's not about the money. It's about the exchange of energy, right? Like putting $20 into the slot machine, I'm not going to get $20 worth of joy out of it. Not that everything's an exact wash, but $20 on art supplies. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy those art supplies. And I think it's that difference for me, kind of learning that just because I've tried something and realized that what it's going to need to continue, I don't want to do, isn't the same as not following through. And kind of embracing who we really are. You know, if you're somebody who can, you know, make a list and tick it off, and that feels great for you, and it gives you that sense of, okay, cool, you know, I'm working through, and you're that disciplined type person, that's fabulous. So I'm not in any way saying one way is right, one way is wrong, or that in order to be an artist or creative, you can't be that way, because that's nonsense. But I feel like I want to say that just because I don't want anyone to feel that I'm tooting my own way of doing things. It's actually the complete opposite of that. I'm saying we all need to embrace how we do things, and letting that be okay, and not being rushed based on an externally imposed timeline, because I think that's what was happening to me, is I was starting to feel this rush, this pressure to finish, to get to this. And honestly, it's not like it's a clear destination. So even if I woke up tomorrow and here's my creative business, what's the destination there? Right? Okay, you have the creative business, or you have the book contract, or you have the whatever, right? You know, whatever you wanted. What is that? Is that, that's not, we all know that's not an end point, right? So maybe slowing ourselves down in a world that wants us to keep speeding up is the gift. Maybe we need to keep slowing ourselves down. Just, you know what? And every time we feel that, oh, I gotta, just nope. Kind of slowing down even more. I'm seeing, if you have kids or if you've seen the movie, I watched a lot of kids movies before I had kids, so I don't want to act like you have to have kids to have seen the movie. Zootopia, it's actually one of my husband's favorites. I'm thinking about the sloths at the DMV, and how awesome is it to not be influenced? And I've met people like this, and I'm always amazed, sometimes frustrated, but I'm always amazed at their inability to be in certain areas. And I've seen it, I think we all probably have it in certain areas, but their inability to be altered by an extenuating force. Like, for example, somebody who is trying to, like, I'm trying to think of a good example. You know, but people who can focus on something regardless of what's working, what's going on around them, right? They're going to be able to sit, tune everything out. And it doesn't matter if somebody's screaming in their ear, hurry up, come on, we need this yesterday. They can still just work at the pace that they need to work at to get what they need done. And I think we all probably have that in certain areas of our lives where we're not going to be rushed. I was always like that. And I would say over the last 8 years or so, I found the world's like leaked in a little bit, seeped in. That's probably a better word. The world kind of seeped in a little bit more. And I started to speed up. I started to feel rushed. Like I didn't have enough time. And I would almost say for me, I think it partly came from, because my son was born 8 years ago. This is by Dobie, it's a reflection of my son. He's an awesome, all my kids are awesome. But when you have two and suddenly the nap, like my oldest wasn't napping and now you have nap time and it's like, okay, I have, you know, it's that timeline, right? Like, okay, I gotta get my creativity in this hour while he's napping, or, you know, while Sesame Street's on, I can do an hour of this. So I think that was sort of where it like started. And then we sometimes just kind of roll with it, don't we? We just let it, like, you know, this deluge of new programming kind of come in where before we know it, we're doing everything differently and we don't know why. And I think that, and in some ways, like I just realized, we're still doing things the way we always used to, like still thinking that I need to be different in order to realize the things that I want. I just felt inspired to come back on here because I really enjoy doing these podcasts. And I would love to hear your thoughts. I really and truly would. My real dream for my site is to have a blog where people can come and talk with people who are interested like in the similar type things, creative people, where they can be inspired, but also I'd love for it to be a place where we're not trying to make anything, which sounds so silly, right? But what I mean is we're not trying to reach a certain goal. I'm not looking for so many likes or approvals or numbers or members or whatever any of that kind of stuff is. It's not a place where you have to show up every day, but just this kind of place where we have these real, genuine, truthful exchanges of energy and creativity among each other. So please do share. I would love to hear it, to hear your thoughts on things. speaking specifically about creativity and why my desk is a mess. Hopefully I'll write a little blog post on it. But I'm working on a postcard swap. If you're familiar with iHanna, her blog, she does twice a year, she does a postcard, a handmade postcard swap. And I did it in the fall last year, and I'm doing it again this year, and I absolutely love it. And my desk is covered with remnants of the first layer. And then I was figuring out how to rethread my sewing machine, my little mini one, and testing that out. And I have a couple other projects that I'm working on and different things. So, yeah, I have a lot of fun stuff on my desk right now, paints and things like that. And I'm planning on doing some jelly printing, which should be fun. So hopefully I'll be sharing a little bit of that with you guys as well. I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to comment below. If you don't want to comment and you'd like to send me a message, please do that too. I'd be happy to get email from somebody just to say hello and tell me what your thoughts are on feeling like maybe you have a rush with your creativity. Do you feel like you have a deadline? And maybe you do. Maybe you are a full-time artist, writer, creative in some way. And maybe you actually have a deadline that's looming over you. Sorry, another sip of tea here. I would love to hear how you maybe make space in the deadline, right? Because, you know, maybe you do have to get something done, but how do you breathe out and have that space to do what you need to do? And maybe you're not somebody who's good at being consistent like I am, but maybe you manage to do it. So if you have, for me, I found bookending or doing little bits of things each day helps. One of the things I'm learning and reinforcing is that each day we have about an hour where I can, you know, or I have an hour where I could do stuff, and I tend to waste that time. And sometimes it's necessary to just kind of have a veg out time. But today was one of those days where I just went, oh, I can't do anything. I think I'm just gonna like chill for an hour. And I was kind of inspired to record this. And just by following through on that, right? So that's what I was saying, the difference in intention between kind of saying to myself, oh, I can't do that right now and I'm going to let it go, versus going, I'm gonna give myself a little, you know, I'm going to sit for 5 minutes at my desk instead of in the chair that I usually like veg out in. I'm going to sit at my desk and see what comes from that. Just that shift, right? And saying, I'm just going to do it for 5 minutes and seeing where it leads. And now I've recorded almost a half an hour podcast from it. So I think it is that shift, right? About making space. But if you are somebody who's not routine, but you manage to be consistent, even in a very loose definition of consistency, I would love to hear. I am always open to hearing other viewpoints and ideas and thoughts, because I find it all fascinating, and that we can all learn so much from each other. So I'm going to wrap this up here. I hope to be a little more consistent with these podcasts, and I do hope you enjoy listening to them. So thank you for your time today. I hope you have a chance to be creative today, and I will be back with you again soon. Take care.